Hey guys, so today I'm going to talk to you about the character of Kali and how I loosely based her on a Hindu goddess named Kali. If you check out the symbols associated with Kali, you'll see how fierce they are. For instance, she has four arms with a sword in one hand and the head of a demon in another. That's, again, representative of her slaying of untruths, bringing in truth into a situation. Again, the destroyer of illusions. The other two hands bless her worshipers and say, "Fear not." She has two heads for earrings, a string of skulls as a necklace, and a girdle made of human hands as her clothing. That's pretty fierce. I don't know about you, but definitely she's a challenging figure to look at and a challenging figure to try and see as anything but, whoa, I'm not into that. As the legend goes, in battle, Kali was so much involved in the killing spree that she got carried away and began destroying everything in sight. And to stop her, Lord Shiva, who was her consort, which means boyfriend, threw himself under her feet and shocked at this sight and that she almost would have killed him. She sticks out her tongue in astonishment and puts an end to her homicidal rampage. And that's why a very common image of Kali shows her in the middle of this melee, bloodlust kind of mood, standing with one foot on Shiva's chest with her tongue stuck out. So how does that fierceness of Kali relate to Kali, who's a bit mousy in a lot of ways? Well, let's look at the idea of the bloodlust. When Kali is under the influence of those voices that want her to hurt Ember, she's in the bloodlust. She's in that, she's trapped. And even if part of her wouldn't normally want to hurt Ember, most of her wouldn't want to hurt Ember, she's under the influence. And then Taryn comes along, almost as Lord Shiva, to break her out of that spell. And then Kali comes back to herself and is so regretful, so remorseful that she would want to injure Ember. That's how it plays out. Yet, I want to explore Kali and her power even more, but the way that the story went, I don't end up delving into her power as much as I would like to. So my plan is to do an offshoot novel where that happens. She'll be a little bit older, a couple years older. She's 12 now. Maybe she'll be more like 15, 16. That gives me a little bit more leeway in what I can explore in her character, and she'll have had more training. So I plan to do that, but it is just a lesson in how the story itself kind of takes over, and something that I originally thought I'd explore here just didn't end up serving the story. But she still has, again, that potential, that seed of that goddess. We talked about the seed of greatness last time. So she still has that seed of Kali. And in fact, it does show up in a couple of times when she gets trapped in that bloodlust and Taryn breaks her free. And yet I don't quite explore it to its full extent and still want to, because boy, think about how fun it would be to write for a Kali-influenced character. Kali's lessons are often hard, but they are necessary. And it's a goddess who is really about truth. If you've ever been involved in a situation where you really liked someone or you got offered something that seemed so great, almost too good to be true, only to find out, in fact, that that person or that situation was too good to be true, then you've had the benefit of Kali in your life. Because even though that was probably really painful and you had a lot of hopes pinned to that person or situation, eventually you realize that you were better off to know the truth. And that's Kali moving through you. That's that energetic of destroying illusions. And it's brutal. And it's painful, but ultimately it's for the best, because no one wants to be living in a situation that's a lie. That's your little introduction into Kali and into the character of Kali. I hope you're enjoying the novel, and I can't wait to talk to you guys again.